Praise God. Something about the Word of God that's so powerful. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, eternal. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Oh God, help us here tonight. Don't ever want to get to the place where the Lord makes a comment and says, destroy them. I'm not going to preach about that tonight necessarily, but I want to talk about this eternity, the eternal God, amen, and his everlasting arms. Praise God. If we're going to live for God, we've got to have the right concept of what it's all about. It's not about just coming to church. Amen. It's not about just clapping when everybody claps. Praise God. We've got some here that know how to do that. Little Isaiah, he'll clap when he's supposed to clap. And sometimes he claps before everybody starts. He's got it figured out. But that doesn't mean that he's living for God. No, he needs the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Just like your children need the Holy Ghost. Praise God. But there's got to be an idea or an understanding, probably is a better word, of why we're living for God and what it's really all about. So I want to minister to us here tonight for a little while. And if you want to put a title on it, you call it Living in the Shadow of Eternity. Praise God. Living in the shadow of eternity. And that's where we're at tonight. We're in the shadow of eternity. I heard someone talking about how they grew up in the church. It was not an apostolic church, but they wrote a book about it and said, living in the shadow, living under the shadow of the steeple. Well, we're not living under the shadow of the steeple tonight. We are living under the shadow of eternity. And like we sang tonight, when my battles have been won, amen, and when God calls us home, we're going to understand what it was really all about. But we can try down here to understand what it's all about. Let's pray right now. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for truth tonight. We ask you to anoint your Word to every heart, every mind, every spirit here tonight. Lay your hand upon the service. Speak to us in Jesus' name, we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. I love the Word of God. There's just something about it. Been really focusing on the book of Hebrews lately. I just really enjoy the book of Hebrews. There's just something very powerful about that book that goes really deep. Amen. I just purchased or just received my Apostolic Study Bible, and there have been a number of apostolics that have been putting this Bible together for several years now, and it has finally come to fruition, and we sent some money to help them develop it, and it was very costly, and so I got an opportunity to get one of the premier Bibles. And it's a blue Bible. Amen. It's a very beautiful Bible. But they are available if you're interested in apostolic footnotes in the Bible. And it's not just your standard thing, but it goes pretty deep. I'm enjoying it so far. Amen. The word eternal here in the scripture that we read, Deuteronomy 33:27, comes from the Hebrew word that properly means the vanishing point. And it talks about time out of mind, past or future, and it means eternity. And so really when we think about eternity, it's very hard for us to grasp because we serve the God who is eternal. Amen. The eternal God is thy refuge. And so being eternal, and this is what we really can't understand, is that God always was and God always will be. Praise God. That's how awesome our God is tonight. He is so awesome. We've got to get a grasp on who it is that we're serving. He is the eternal God. And so we were created in the shadow of eternity. We were made in the image of God, and we were given a soul. And the soul that we were given is going to live forever somewhere. Our bodies are going to decay away. Our bodies are going to die and be gone someday. But your body is just what you're housed in tonight. It's not what's going to live for eternity. Praise God. Praise God. We are destined as a people to go into eternity. Every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of the earth is headed to an eternity. And there are many, of course, that are not aware of this, or they ignore this and feel like that life is just for living for the moment. But I'm here to say tonight that's not what the Word of God tells us. Amen. We need to live our lives under the understanding that we are headed for an eternity. Praise God. And we know, as human beings tonight, we just know time and we know forward movement. Yes, we can go back and we can read history and we can go back to things that happened in the past. But as they say, history is destined to repeat itself. And it's the reason is we forget about it, and we just move forward into time. As people, we know beginnings and endings, and so therefore we know only time. Amen. And yet the Scripture reveals something to us here that precedes and supersedes time. And it's not something that we can really comprehend altogether, but time is one of the elements that God created when He created everything. In the beginning, the Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, in the beginning, that is marking time right there. And right before it said, in the beginning, there was eternity. And so what we've got to get a hold of is the fact that we are living under the shadow of eternity tonight. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, I have a few scriptures we want to read here tonight. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. Now, you can look at that as a group, but we are a part of a nation here tonight. And so you can look yourself in the mirror and understand that you are going to be gathered together. Amen. There is going to be a gathering. And the church is going to be involved in a gathering. Praise God. We sing that song, What a Gathering It Will Be. What a wonderful song. Praise God. There's going to be a great gathering. We call it the rapture. The Bible calls it getting caught up into heaven. Amen. And whatever you want to describe it as, it is a gathering. There's going to be a gathering in the sky. We're going to see the dead in Christ rise first, and then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them, and we're going to be in that gathering. When that gathering takes place, your job isn't going to mean a whole lot. When that gathering takes place, the amount of money you have or don't have is not going to mean a whole lot. In fact, I got a feeling it's not going to mean anything. All we're going to do is shout and praise God and thank God that we made it. Praise the Lord. And we talk about making it because What we are doing is living in the shadow of eternity. Jesus talked about it. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them. Everybody said separate. Separate. We talk about separation in the church. We talk about separation in the scripture. And it talks about being separate from the world and not being a part of the world. And the reason is because there is going to be a great separation. And we may as well get used to being separated, amen, because the church and the world aren't going to the same place. Not going to the same place. Amen. It's a whole lot better to be separated unto God now and forego some pleasure and enjoyment. And, you know, the Bible talks about it as the pleasure of sin for a season. There is pleasure in sin. Oh, and everybody's smiling on Facebook and everything's going great. But we have an epidemic in our country. I don't know about other countries, but 70,000 people a year in America are dying from drug overdose that is prescription drug only. Amen. We want to feel good, and when we get involved in these things, they become very addictive, and we go in a direction that may not be the will of God. And I'm not preaching against pain relievers or medications tonight. But I'm talking about a spirit and an attitude. Amen. The most important thing in life is not being happy. Amen. The most important thing in life is not getting what I want. Praise God. The most important thing is that we be a separated people unto God, because there is going to be a separation whether we choose to separate ourselves or not. There's coming a separation, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. We are the sheep of his pasture, the Bible says, and the goats are going off to the left, and the sheep are going to the right. And it says, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Amen. There is a separation that is coming. And here we have the ending of the chapter of prophecy. I read from Matthew 25. If you are a Bible student tonight, you'll know that Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25 are prophecy chapters in the book of Matthew. And it talks about the judgment day, and it talks about the great tribulation. Talks about all the things that are happening, actually happening right now, where we have China and we have Russia and we have all of the nations of the world that are affected by the great possibility of gigantic warfare. Warfare that we did not have in World War II until we developed the atomic bomb. And only two of those were exploded in that war. But we are facing a moment in time where Russia, an atheistic country, Russia has 6,000 nuclear missiles, 6,000. And America has 5,000 some odd. And other countries like India and Pakistan have nuclear weapons. There are those that are attempting to get nuclear weapons. And if all we do is look at what is happening in our world, not just happening in our world, but happening in our own personal lives, I'm afraid that we can become distracted by where we really are. We tonight are living in the shadow of eternity. And the reason that you're here is because you want to be saved. Amen? The reason that you're here is because you want to hear him say, well done. And we are separating ourselves from mowing the lawn on Wednesday night. It'd be kind of hard to do that right now. Amen. We are separating ourselves from those who are spending their night watching a movie. Amen. We are coming here to the house of God because we have a sense of purpose and we have a sense of eternity that the Lord is coming very soon. Praise God. And I know they always felt that way, but folks, if we don't ever feel that way in any generation, we're in real big trouble. Because if we don't know that he's coming or we don't believe that he's coming, then we are going to not see the necessity of separation from the world. Amen. And at this judgment here that the Lord talked about, two groups of people are going to be separated and are going to be given their rewards. The reward of sin is death, and the reward of righteousness is eternal life. Amen. So we have eternal life, and we have eternal death. Amen. Eternity with God and an eternity without God. Amen. Isn't it worth it to come to church on Wednesday night? Can't imagine sleeping in and not coming to the house of God. Can't imagine having something more important than coming to church and hearing the good word of God. Amen. You may not always get something, but some of you have told me that every time you come, you get something. And you know why? Because God gives. Amen. And if we come and we have a hungry heart, God will fill that hungry heart and give you a nugget of truth that will help you that week. Well, praise the Lord. And Matthew 25 and verse 34. We read down to verse 33. Let's go to verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, that would be the sheep, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Amen. That's what we want to hear. And there's a reason that these people were on the right. And Jesus describes this. And I hope that you're listening tonight. I hope this will affect somebody here tonight because we have to make a conscious decision to understand where we're living. We're living in the shadow of eternity tonight. And eternity could come for any one of us tomorrow. Amen. Eternity could come at any moment for any of these young people. Amen. We hope not right now. We want them to be around for a long time. Amen. There have been a number of times in my life where I thought eternity was standing at the door. And I was about to slip off into eternity, but God brought me back. And you know what it's done for me? It's made me not afraid of death, but it's opened up my mind and an understanding that I'm just penciled in here for a little while. Amen. And all of us are just penciled in for a little while. And so he said, inherit. I talked about that Sunday night, about our great inheritance, and that we are inheritors with Jesus Christ. Amen. And he said, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That is so awesome tonight. If you'll just meditate on that a little bit, that you're sitting on the pew here tonight. Doesn't matter if you're comprehending, if you're a young person and you're about to fall asleep, amen, or if you leave and say, well, I don't really understand what he said. You're here tonight by a divine ordination of God. Amen. Prepared for us. There is an inheritance that has been prepared for us from the foundation of the world. In other words, when God said in the beginning, amen, in the beginning, when time started, when the beginning started, your name was in the mind of God. Well, praise the Lord. Your call of God was in the mind of God, and not just the call of God, but a mansion that he is already building and probably has already got built. Amen. There was in the mind of God Glory Avenue, number 355. Amen. Hunter Pope. And your name is right there on the door. Everybody that's here tonight, everyone that's been born again. And can I say tonight that it is probably a name of every person that's ever lived on the face of the earth. Amen. We're not any better than anybody else. Praise the Lord. My neighbor has a plan of God for his or her life. Well, praise the Lord. And so we've got to understand that we are living in the shadow of eternity. Now, the inheritors here tonight, I don't want to just teach on something that's kind of generic, that we're living in the shadow of eternity, but I want to get it down to where we really live here tonight. What does it mean to be separated unto God? What does it mean to really have that inheritance sure and settled in our lives? Well, he goes on. Let's look at the next verse here. For I was an hungered, or I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous, everybody said the righteous. All right, now listen to the pastor tonight. The righteous does not rest upon your dress. Amen. It's a result of righteousness. It's a result of something that's deep in our hearts, and we will separate ourselves by the way we dress. Amen. I think it's very important to God. It's not his will that the ladies go out in public in an immodest way. Amen. And so we have to define modesty from the Word of God, from Scripture. But that's not what makes us righteous here tonight. What makes us righteous here, the righteous answered him, and so they had no idea that this was important. They just did it because they had a big heart. Amen. They did it because when they gave their life to God, they separated themselves from the world. But not just from the world, they separated themselves from themselves. I'm not important anymore. My neighbor is important. That person that's sick in the hospital is more important than what I want to do. When I was thirsty, he said, you gave me drink. Amen. And so they said, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you drink? When saw we as a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison, and so on? The king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Somebody said, praise God. Praise God. These are the righteous in the earth. These are the ones that are going to inherit the kingdom. Those that just go to church and they have their spot. Well, I go and I sit and this is all I do. When my neighbor is sick, do I go and give them something? When I know that someone has passed away in their life, do I go and offer my condolences or offer my help? When I have people living around me that don't know the Lord, what do I do with my time and my talent and my treasure? And here tonight, I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on us, not at all. But I just want to look at what the Word of God actually says about those that will be separated and placed upon his right hand. Matthew 25, verse 41 through 46. And Brother Reed, would you read that for me tonight?
Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire. naked and you clothed me not, sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered or a thirst, or a stranger or naked or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
All right, everlasting punishment, and the righteous will go to everlasting life. Now, we cannot ignore what the Lord said here. He said to these that were only thinking about themselves, he was speaking to those that live their lives for themselves, or could I say they live their life for theirself and their loved ones, their family, and that's as far as it went. Obviously, they were not living for God. He said, depart from me, ye cursed, ye cursed. Oh, I don't want to hear him say that I am cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This was not just written in here. This is the exact word of Jesus Christ. And so we have a choice tonight to be righteous or to be wicked. Amen. We have a choice tonight to go to everlasting life or everlasting punishment, everlasting fire. That means fire that's not going to go out. Scripture says it will not be quenched, and it is prepared for the devil and his angels. Think about the most wicked thing that an individual could do, and you could put that name on a devil. And when you go to hell, you're going to be parked somewhere beside the angel that, well, I don't even want to try to think about it here tonight, but you're going to be mixing and cohabitating with devils and or with the devil and his angels. Praise God. And it hinges upon our separation. Separation from the world, separation from ourself. Amen. Did you know that your neighbor is very important to God? Amen. Your co-worker is very important to God. Well, praise the Lord. Mark 10 and 17. Brother Reed, get me those scriptures here this evening. Amen. Mark 10 and 17. Start reading, and we may not get down to verse 31, but read a little bit.
Into the way, there came one brother and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me.
Praise God. Somebody said, Praise the Lord. He just lacked one thing for eternal life. Amen. And that was blessing others with what he had. Go and sell what you have and give it to somebody else. You know, when we get the concept that we're living in the shadow of eternity and we understand the heartbeat of God tonight, I'm not going to preach a long time, but I want to drop this thought into our hearts tonight. This is so very important. We cannot have the attitude of our four and no more. Amen. We cannot do that. Here was a man that did everything. He probably taught in the synagogue. He was very active in his religious duties and all of that. And he had a lot of things. God had blessed him with a lot of things. But when it came down to it, the Lord wanted to know if he really understood eternity. and what it means to live for God and to do the will of God. We've got to understand what it means to live for God and do the will of God. Well, praise the Lord. And when we live in the shadow of eternity, we're going to see things a little bit different. A little bit further down, it says, Jesus looked around and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the reason being is that many, many times, and this isn't all the always, but he said there's not very many that are going to make it to heaven with riches. And I suppose it's because the love of money is the root of all evil. And we could put a lot of things in there, and a lot of things are relative when we talk about this. Somebody that's got $50 in their pocket may feel rich, and somebody that's got $1 billion in the bank may not be happy with that and want more. Amen. It's all relative here tonight. Praise God. And Jesus said, or Peter said, then Peter said unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. In other words, what's in it for us? Lord, we've gone, we've preached. Peter was a part of the 70 that went out and laid hands and cast out devils and got involved in ministry. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man. Everybody said, no man. So that involves all of us here tonight. There is no man that hath left house, brothers, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, we could say husbands as well, for my sake and the gospel's. The gospel's. Now, we got to look at this in the way that it's written and the way it was spoken to us. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection. The gospel is not something that we dig a hole and bury it and wait for the Lord to come, and we rejoice in this gospel and this great salvation. But the gospel is for the salvation of your neighbor. The gospel is for the salvation of your coworker and anybody else you come in contact with. Praise God. Amen. And so we forsake ourselves. Peter said, we have left all and followed thee. They had the right spirit and the right attitude, but they didn't really understand what the reward was going to be for following the Lord and going out and ministering to others. Because I'll tell you from experience tonight that when you minister to others, you're giving a part of yourself away. If you have a car, how many of you have a car tonight? Just about everybody here has a vehicle. Amen. Did you know that that vehicle is a part of your life? Amen. You had to work X amount of hours to pay for that vehicle. And so it literally is a part of your life. And we can get so caught up in doing things for ourselves. What we need to do is to bless the work of God with our tithes and offerings. But I'm telling you what, we need to bless others that are in need as well. The poor. And there's not very many poor among us, but there are avenues and ways to do that. And so what we do when we come and we put our tithes and our offering in the offering plate, what we are literally doing is we are giving a part of ourselves away. I'm giving it away. Don't get quiet on me here tonight. I'll tell you what, Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. And that applies with your time, your treasure, and your talents. Amen. Some have one, some have two, some have five, some have 3.5. Amen. We're all in different places here tonight. But if we do the very best that we can for the right reason, I'm giving a part of myself away because there was a day when I got the concept of eternity. And I said, I'm going to answer to God someday, and I can't hoard it all to myself, but I've got to give it away. And when I give it away, he gives it back, heaped up, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I got a feeling that the curse in the book of Malachi, where he talked about tithes and offerings, he said, when you don't tithe an offering, you are literally stealing from God. Now think about this here tonight. A thief actually takes away from somebody a portion of their life. If somebody steals your car tonight, and God forbid that that would ever happen, but if somebody steals your car and it ends up in Mexico and you can never get it back and you didn't have insurance on it and it's a total loss, I'll tell you what that thief has done. He has stolen a part of your life. And when we steal from God, that is the highest possible sin, I suppose, is taking away part of God's life that he has given to us. And the light was the life of men, praise God. And God gave us life and gave us our finances, gave us our nice home, gave us our nice vehicle, gave us a beautiful church, praise the Lord. Gave me a brother and a sister, gave me a pastor, gave me a congregation. Amen. You can go a million places here tonight, but if we hoard it to ourselves, I'm afraid that we will end up being those wicked that are placed on the left side. Peter said, we've forsaken all. What's in it for us? And he said, he shall receive 100-fold. Praise God. I think it's more than 100-fold. I'm not adding to the word of God. But he said 100-fold now in this time. Praise God. Now in this time. Houses. Everybody said houses. That's not just a house. That's houses. Brethren. Sisterins. That's sisters. Y'all can smile just a little bit. Mothers, children, lands, with persecution in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Praise God. And so Peter really didn't have the right attitude, if you want to call it an attitude. Amen. He looked at it and said, what's in it for me? But I'm telling you, if we'll look at the work of God and say, not if it's what it's in for me, praise God. But what can I do for God, and what part of my life can I give away? Amen. Amen. I know you're not shouting tonight, but that's all right. This is truth here tonight. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38, of course, is the starting point. Acts 2, 37 and 38, excuse me. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Here is the answer to victorious living for God. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Somebody said, repent. What does it mean to repent? It means to turn around, turn your back on sin, but it's more than that. It's turning your back on your old lifestyle. It's saying, I don't want to be me anymore. I want to be what God wants me to be. I don't want to get things anymore. I want to give things now. Repentance, and it talks about death. Repentance is spiritual death, where we are crucified with him. Amen. Praise God. There wasn't much left of the body of Jesus when they got through with him. He didn't even look like a man. He had been beaten so badly and bruised and torn. Amen. But God so loved that he gave. So repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So when we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we take that old dead man, that old dead lifestyle that we used to live, and we bury it. Amen. It's gone. It's buried. It's not coming back again. We're putting a tombstone on the head of it that says, rest in peace. Amen. Because we're not coming back and you're not coming out of the grave. I'm giving up my life for God and I'm giving my life up for others. Amen. Praise God. A church that will understand what I'm talking about tonight will be a revival church. Well, praise God. Can I get it down to where we live? A saint of God that has this in their heart will be a revival saint of God. They'll be a soul winner. They'll be a prayer warrior. Amen. They'll get into the Word of God because they understand they're living under the shadow of eternity. But it's not just repenting and being baptized. It says, and you shall receive. So when you give your life to God and you die in repentance and you're buried in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and we've given it all to God, God says, now I'm going to give to you. And when he gives to us, he gives to us a part of himself. Amen. The earnest of the Spirit, the earnest of our inheritance. Praise God. And it's powerful. How many enjoy having the Holy Ghost tonight? Let's stand together. Praise God. How many enjoys coming to the house of God? Feeling the powers of the world to come. Oh, well, I come to church, and if I don't feel anything on Wednesday night, I'm just not going to come. Well, I'm too tired. I've had folks tell me I'm too tired to get up to go to church on Sunday morning. You know, not being critical here tonight, but I've never felt that way. I've never gotten to the place where I said, I'm just not interested anymore. I talked to a backslider one time. I saw him somewhere, and I forget his name even tonight. But he walked away from God, went out into the world, doing all the things of the world. And I said, brother, why did you leave God? He said, I just got tired. Just got tired of it. Got tired of the giving. Got tired of the sacrifice. Got tired of the demands that God placed upon his life. And he just decided, I'm not living for others. I'm not living for God. I'm going to live my life for myself. That's the true heart of a backslider. Did you know in the Old Testament, you look it up, I don't have it here tonight written down to give it to you, but it says in the Old Testament that a backslider is filled with his own ways. The backslider is filled with his own ways. Amen. What direction are you going tonight, saint of God? Do you really know why you're here? Young person, seek God with all of your heart. Ask God to reveal these things to your spirit. Amen. I see some young men on the front row, young ladies that are on the second row, some of the little children that are here tonight. Praise God. I see future pillars in the church. Don't ever get to the place where you say, well, I did that when I was a kid, but now I'm going to do my own thing since I'm grown up. Don't ever get that attitude because you're not your own. The Bible says we were bought with a price and we're not our own. We were not created to get for ourselves. But we were created to give ourselves away. Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? The answer was, yes, you are, Cain. You're going to answer to how you treated others. And if you gave to them when they were sick and you helped them when they were in need, praise God. I understand that some of the ladies are going to visit those that are shut-ins. And I'll tell you what, The Bible says that true religion is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Oh, well, Pastor, I don't have enough time on my hands. I've got all these things. I've got church services to go to. I just don't have time to go by and just spend a little time with somebody that's shut in. Just don't have enough time to go to my neighbor's house and just knock on the door and say, hey, I'm your neighbor. My name is. Praise God. And help them and lift them up if it's possible. Praise God. If they don't have a need or they don't want to be involved in that, that's fine. But we've reached out and we've done our best to help them. These little children, you know, I've said it over the years and I'm trying my best to modify what I say, but I say it's good to have these Sunday school children here. And something inside it pricks my heart that I really shouldn't be calling them Sunday school children. They're not bus kids. They're future preachers. They're future pillars. They're future saints of God that give their life to God. Oh, well, you know, they're just coming from a home that's disorganized and out of control. Well, I'm telling you what, there was a day in my life when things were out of control, but I'm glad somebody gave. I'm glad somebody spent the time, amen, to come and to talk to me. Lord, we thank you for the word of God tonight.